Welcome to the Motivated Mompreneur Podcast. Hi, I'm Hillary Bennett, former corporate stooge turned motivated mompreneur. After becoming a mom, I realized the two options offered to moms did not work for me. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I didn't want to work a normal 9-to-5 job either. I wanted to live into my professional calling and be a present, joyful mom. So I left my 9-to-5 and started coaching motivated mompreneurs just like you to build and grow successful, sustainable, heart-centered businesses without sacrificing their family. Join me each week as we dive into business strategy, mindset and productivity tips, inspiration, and a lot of laughs. Let's get to it. Hey mamas, welcome to another episode of the Motivated Mompreneur Podcast. I am Hillary Bennett, your mompreneur business growth coach. And today I am talking with Lisa Banks, founder and CEO of Pajama Marketer. Lisa is a mom of two young boys and loves helping women leave the workforce and find ways to thrive working from home. And she especially loves sharing how Pinterest can help you achieve your business goals. Lisa, I am so glad to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So Lisa and I met, I think, through a mutual acquaintances business growth group. And then we kind of chatted on Instagram probably for over a year now. I'm thinking it was last year when we first kind of started chatting. And here we are getting to hang out and collaborate on my podcast. We were joking that it's been a long time coming. And thanks to COVID, we actually live in the same area of the world and have never gotten to meet in person. But no time like the present. And just thrilled to have her on today. And today she is going to regale us with all of her expert regarding Pinterest, why we need to be on it, and how we can start using it to help our businesses thrive. And so I'm just thrilled that you're here, Lisa. But why don't we get started today with you telling us a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah, of course. So I am a mom. I think, Hillary, you talked about this, but of two young boys. And my oldest son is six. So 7 years ago, my life was very different. I worked in San Francisco, working for a tech company in Silicon Valley. And oh man, I worked a long hours. I was a marketing director and I kind of hit a wall, or I hit this weird turning point where my entire life was focused on my career. That was everything. When I had kids, I think a lot of people go through this. I just was thinking about a lot of different things, like what my priorities in my life were. And then I got laid off. So I had kind of an unnatural runway to kind of figure things out. If that hadn't happened, I probably would still be working my normal jobs, is my guess. And I had some time to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. So I'm thankful for that. They don't know if everybody says they're thankful for getting laid off, but it kind of changed the trajectory of my life. And I started to find ways to work from home. And I found there wasn't a ton of gray or middle ground between like a full-time corporate career where I was gone like 12 hours a day or working from home. So my goal now is I have education and different, hopefully motivating elements to help people who were in the position that I was, who want to now work for themselves. So I work full-time flexibly from home at this point. So it's been a long process, but a really good one.
Oh, I mean, our journeys could not be more similar. So I am resonating with you hardcore on all of that and having all of those feelings. And love that we're able to look back on situations that at the time, I'm sure it was stressful and, you know, not sure what to do, wishing that you weren't in that situation. And yet, like you said, it provided this unique runway for you to explore this alternative, which has now offered you this opportunity to be a completely different type of mother. And not to say that a mom that decides to work out of the home it's just a different type. And we all have our own needs and desires and goals when it comes to the vision that we have for our life. But beautiful how, you know, lemons can be turned into lemonade, as they say.
Yeah. And I think it's all hard. It's just a different kind of hard. Like there is there is no easy motherhood. So
no. It's about finding the motherhood that works best for you, that enables you to be at your best. And for each one of us, it looks so different. And so you took this corporate marketing background in which you were a director of marketing. So you had obviously done very well to rise the ranks in marketing. And now you're helping moms, women, entrepreneurs be able to do better at marketing for their businesses. And you love using Pinterest as a part of that. So I would love for you to just, let's assume that we all maybe know what Pinterest is. Perhaps you've pinned a pin for a child's birthday party or some decor ideas, maybe a recipe or two. And that's as far as you've gone. Maybe take us from that point of understanding and open our eyes to what else.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started out just loving Pinterest and using it probably like most of your listeners do, because I mean, Pinterest is a fantastic source of inspiration and learning, especially for things, let's say you need unicorn rainbow cupcakes. You can find that. You can find such specific things that you're looking for. But what I realized as a marketer, so when I was starting to market my own business, I'm trained to look for white space. And so I was looking at that, and I'm also have experience with social media. One would argue Pinterest isn't truly social media, but when you look at, when I looked at everything out there, it, Facebook and Instagram is super, super competitive. And then I saw Pinterest was really underutilized. And so there's this whole world out there of using Pinterest for business that is very different from using it to go look at like how to do a six-year-old's, I don't know, Roblox birthday party, right? So everything about how you use Pinterest for business, there are similarities, but it's very different. And why it was so exciting to me is as I dug more and more into the statistics, it just keeps growing. So they've had about 37% growth year over year, which is huge. And then the other thing is, obviously, I work specifically with moms. And 60% of the users on Pinterest are women. That's probably not super surprising. The other thing I like is what I offer and what a lot of the people I work with offer is maybe a little more on the niche side. And 97% of searches on Pinterest are not brand related. So all of a sudden, let's say you're making homemade shoes, whereas on Google or Facebook, you'd be competing with like Nike dollars, right? On Pinterest, that's not the case because it is a search-based, not brand-based, or it's a keyword-based, right? People aren't searching, they're searching shoes. You could come up as this tiny brand versus Nike. So that's where it really is this huge opportunity to break through if you're really small. And people are much more likely to click through. So back in the day, you could do a post about your products on Facebook and people might buy it from you or do an ad. People are so tuned out because they are used to seeing that stuff on Facebook, but Pinterest, people are there to click and learn and make purchase decisions. So all of those things combined is why I was like, wow, Pinterest is such an untapped resource. And then selfishly, I just love it. I think it's such an enjoyable platform, the visual aspect and just it's Pinterest does a really good job as a company keeping everything super positive, including their user experience. So a lot of the kind of yucky stuff you might see other places, you're not going to find that on Pinterest.
I mean, just that last bit alone, you're so right. I don't know that I ever realized that as a user, but yeah, it is positive. There's not a lot of toxicity that I have experienced on Pinterest.
So that's completely intentional. Like they have a very high code of ethics isn't the right word, but like a creator code. They keep their community standards extremely high. So I, for one, appreciate that, especially with all the swirl of all this stuff going on. They really strive to keep Pinterest like a very inclusive and positive community, which I love.
That's awesome. Okay. I'm going to run through these stats one more time because I think that they're pretty incredible. So Pinterest has seen 37% growth year over year. 60% of the users are women. I guess not many of us are probably surprised by that, but still. So if you are targeting women, this is a great place to be looking for them. And 97% of searches are not brand related, meaning small brands can get visibility, that it's not like shouting through, you know, a huge chorus of big brands trying to get your little voice heard.
Right. My husband comes from media. So he was a media guy, or is still, for years. And so we know what those big brands, well, and I used to work at big companies too. Like, we know what some of those big brands spend mm-hmm. on media. And we're talking like hundreds of millions and millions of dollars. So obviously a smaller brand just can't compete at that level with those big brands, but here they can. So it levels the playing field a little more if you're smart about how you use it.
Okay. So it levels the playing field a little bit more if you're smart on how to use it. Before we jump in on how to be smart, because I want to be able to pick your brain on that, I want to dive into the comment that you made a little bit more, that people are on Pinterest to click and make purchases. I, a month or two ago, was doing a free social media training by some fancy dancy social media expert, and I do not remember the statistic, but she said essentially that Pinterest is the number one platform for actually click-through purchases. That there are more purchases, like for over Christmas, when you're, you know, buying Christmas gifts or holiday gifts, for example, like Pinterest had the highest rates of actually making purchases because of something that they'd seen on Pinterest. So am I getting that right? Like, because that's really compelling to me.
Yes, that's 100% correct. And it's twofold, the rationale or reasons why. So one is people, it's just mentally are open to shopping there. They're looking for inspiration, like Father's Day presents. Oh, I see this. And whether they're making the purchase on platform or off platform, they're still making some of those purchase decisions there. But then secondarily, Pinterest also has a fantastic ability. You can apply for rich pins. If you're a retailer or you have an e-commerce site, you can apply for rich pins, which then, and shopping pins, which enable someone to actually click on the pin and make a purchase through the pin itself without ever having to go to your website, or without having, like, on a Facebook ad, you have like all multiple steps. For Pinterest, you can make your purchases straight through the pins.
That's incredible. So for those moms who are listening that offer actual product, what you're saying is they could apply for this type of a pin, this rich pin, and be able to sell directly through the app.
Absolutely. And it's totally free to apply for it. All you need to do is own your website and add some lines of code and apply. I've applied for there's three kinds of rich pins: recipe, product, and article. I have article pins. It's not technically super difficult, but it's well worth it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think that's probably something that I'm going to kind of put a check mark by to say, ooh, this is interesting. Need to learn more. But before we get to that kind of advanced level, I feel like that's a little bit advanced. Even for me, I have a Pinterest business page and I have a few pins. That's as sophisticated as I am with Pinterest for Business. So you mentioned that Pinterest can level the playing field for you if you are doing it in a smart way. So let's talk about what it takes to be smart with using Pinterest for your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would have kind of my top five things to get started to move into being a business owner on Pinterest. And the very first one is you absolutely 100% need to have a business profile. So you can either, you can convert your personal to a business, you can link your personal to a business, or you can just create a new profile that's a business. They have three options. It's super easy to do. It's basically just toggling. And once you have it, it opens up a world of possibilities. So let's say you have zero interest in actually getting started on Pinterest, still go get a business profile, because you get so much more information when you have a business profile. It opens up a world of what you can get. So with a business account, you get analytics, you get the ability to run ads, you get your insights, you get, you can claim your website, you can apply for rich pins, which is what we were talking about. And I do agree, that's probably more of an advanced element. But all of those things. If you do nothing else, go apply and get a business profile, because it will open up what Pinterest is, even just the analytics piece, like understanding which of your pins are performing. It's all worthwhile. So that is absolutely 100% step one. If I can't convince you to get it a business profile, that is, I have to say, like, that's the most important thing you need to do to get started.
Okay. So ladies, go get your business profile. Let's do it. All right. So we have our business profile. Now what?
Now, step two, you want to make a great profile. So I'm sure a lot of you have learned through like an Instagram bio, you want to optimize your bio. Well, the same thing is true for Pinterest. And Pinterest gives you quite a bit of room for different characters. So you don't want to just say your name. You want to say, like, what do you do? Right. So mine is pajama marketer, like social media. I help women with learning Pinterest, something that's not articulated perfectly, but you want to make sure that you're adding in keywords and telling people when they come to your profile, what you're about, what you offer. The other thing is Pinterest pulls in keywords from all kinds of places. There's 7 places and your bio is one of them. So if you do social media, for example, you want to make sure your bio has that in there. I also highly recommend that you use a really nice headshot on your Pinterest profile, because again, this is personal and people are, even if you are a brand, unless you're like a brand where it doesn't make sense to have a person. But if you're somebody like Hillary, if you were you, for example, you'd want to use your headshot. And I try to use consistent headshots across all platforms. That's just a personal preference. And for your username, I always recommend having the same username across profiles. Again, I think consistency for your brand, even if it's your name, is important. And then always tell people what you do, how you will help them, or why they should follow you. So you have only a couple seconds to get them to think like, oh, this is going to be a place where I'm going to get educational value, or I'm going to get something from following this person. And now there's new kind of pins too, with idea pins, that are going to drive people to be more likely to click to your profile. So before, it was more people would just discover you through pins, but now more people are coming to your profile. That makes this more important than before.
Okay. So we're going to make a great profile. I think if anyone is on any social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Clubhouse, Instagram, like, we all understand the necessity of having that really dialed in bio or profile so that people understand who we are, what we do, and how we can help them. And I think that having that very clear I help statement is a great start from what I hear you saying. So, you know, I help, who do you help, do, addressing what pain point, which is a very simplistic formula for that. So what you're also saying, though, is that Pinterest pulls keywords from 7 different places, the bio being one of them. So I was going to probably ask this question later on as we're talking about the actual pins, but how do you figure out? So for example, I help moms, you know, do email marketing better in addition to the one-on-one coaching. So my guess is that email marketing is a great keyword for that, but how do you make sure you're using the right keywords?
So keyword research is incredibly important on Pinterest. Probably not surprising, because it is a search engine at the end of the day. This is completely different than other platforms. I like to call Pinterest pretty Google. Mm-hmm. So you really want to know what keywords, not just what keywords to use, but what keywords your people are searching for. So what I like to do, it's fun comparatively to other keyword research. Like if you're getting into, some of the keyword tools can get pretty heavy duty, especially for Google, but for Pinterest, you can actually do your keyword research right in Pinterest. So type in what you're like, let's say you want to look at email marketing. So type email marketing into search in Pinterest, and then you can kind of see what comes up and then pull tags. Potentially, let's say you put in email marketing and what's coming up just looks kind of off base of what you meant. That allows you to do another search and realize, well, email marketing isn't what I need to get either more specific or I need to try something, another phrase. So that helps you dial it in a bit.
So we can just kind of stay within the platform. We don't have to necessarily use any kind of third-party tools to do the basics of keyword research.
Yeah, I actually recommend keeping it within the platform because that's going to get you the most pertinent search terms because it's all specific to Pinterest.
So good. So we don't even have to open a new window. Love it.
You can pretty much do everything in Pinterest. It's really wonderful. It's very self-contained. Outside of if you want to do some of the tagging website pieces, you're going to have to go into your website. But other than that, you can do everything within Pinterest.
Okay, awesome. So we've got a business profile. We've made it great so that people know who we are, what we offer, how we can help them. What's the third top tip to get started?
So the third tip, and I should clarify, if you do not have a website, that is okay. However, I do highly recommend having somewhere to drive people because the point of Pinterest is two elements. You want to, one, drive engagement within the platform, but you also want to drive clicks out of the platform and drive people to convert them or to help them more off platform. So you want to have somewhere to drive people with some education or information or something. If you have nowhere to drive people or nothing to sell or a way to educate, then Pinterest probably isn't the best place at this time for you. So having an external link of some kind is important. If you don't, you can still do Pinterest. I don't want that to be like a deal breaker for people, but it's going to be more impactful for you and your users if you have a place to drive them to. So with that, you want to verify your domain within Pinterest, and they have really great tutorials on how to do this. It's not super difficult. There's many ways you can do it, either through your host or through your website, or if you have someone manage your website, you can easily, it's just a code snippet. It's really easy. It's just an HTML tag. So with that, you have a lot of benefits. That's where you can start applying for rich pins. And also people can't copy your pin. So if you have a verified domain, when you put something like if I put pajamamarketer.com as the link on my pin, people can't take my pin and then change the website out. It's forever tied. So it also gives you better ownership of those pins.
Great. So I feel like I verified mine back in the day, but I'm going to have to go and check. And I also, when you hear like a code snippet or HTML code, some of our people are going to be like, oh my gosh, like that's too techie for me one way or the other. So if just in case, I'm probably telling you all something that you already know, just in case that is super overwhelming for you and you haven't used this great tip, YouTube can show you exactly how to do that. And you can press pause and click exactly where they clicked and then press play and see the next click and press pause and click exactly where they clicked to figure it out on your own. If you don't have tech support, at your fingertips and that's feeling a little bit overwhelming, just try Googling it, see what's on YouTube, see what tutorials are out there. I'm sure that Pinterest also has a tutorial. Like I said, I'm almost, if it wouldn't be so clicky clacky in all your ears, mamas, I would go to my Pinterest account right now and see if it was verified, which I think it is. But if it does feel overwhelming, use the power of YouTube and it can take some of that overwhelm out of
it. So I should clarify too. So if you have a website, but you don't want to go through this step, totally fine. You can always add your website and not have it verified.
Okay.
So that not verifying it doesn't mean that you can't have your website there. And you can link any pin to anything too. So I don't want this to be a deal breaker for people. And when I'm saying you need to verify your domain, I mean more you need to have a domain on Pinterest. It is better to verify it, but if you can't, or you don't want to, or it's too technical, that's totally fine too. You have two ways. You can put in your bio and you can link your pins to any website you want. So you have lots of options.
So for what I think I'm hearing from you is that you don't necessarily have to verify. So let's say you don't have a website yet, but you have a landing page, either, through Flowdesk, which is what I use, or Kajabi, or, ConvertKit, like somewhere you have a landing page to the thing that you do, or you have a scheduling page to the thing that you do, you could include that. You might not be able to verify it because it's not the website that you own where you could put that code snippet into, but you could put it there so that people could still click through to your website. Am I understanding that correctly? Or to your like landing page?
Yes, absolutely. On okay. your bio, I would not recommend driving pins to a, like if it was just the lead capture, because that's going to be flagged as a not great experience. Pinterest wants it to be educational or informational. So if it's strictly to drive to like just a lead capture page, if it was informational or longer, that's different. But it's just a flag that not gotcha. For your bio. Your bio, you can have whatever you want, but for pins, you don't want to kind of promise something on the pin and then have to go through an email capture to get the information. That's going to be viewed as a poorer experience.
Oh, good to know. Okay. All right. So you do want to have some kind of external link to put in your bio. It's great to verify it so that you get more ownership control over the pins that you then pin from that website, but it's not required. And we really want to focus on that educational experience. So not linking directly to that lead capture opportunity.
Correct. For the, cool. for the pins.
Mm-hmm. For the pins in the bio. We're cool.
Yep. You can do what you want.
Okay. This is so much. I mean, you guys, we're just scratching the surface right now. Isn't this great? Okay. So we've got our bios on our profiles. We're linking and verifying our websites. If that's what's appropriate, give us step number four.
So step number four is to build or clean up your board. So if you want to seriously start using things for business or use Pinterest for business, my guess is you have a bunch of boards. Like when I decided to get really serious, I was redesigning my living room. So I had a living room board and I had Travels in Oregon where I live. Things that, although were relevant to me, they're not necessarily relevant to my target audience, which is people kind of looking for marketing tips. And so I had to, you don't delete them, but you can hide those boards that are no longer relevant to your target market. And then I developed core boards, which were the what things I specifically do myself. So Pinterest marketing, funnel strategy. And then I created some kind of tertiary concepts of things that I think my target audience would be interested in. So email marketing, just things that complement what I do as mm-hmm. well. And so ultimately you want to be looking, think about like top five boards that are related to the service or product you offer that your customer is looking for. And then build out later. So I always try not to be overwhelming. Like I'm going to teach best practices, but I also don't want to say you have to build out 30 boards at once. Like start small and build over time. You don't have to have like everything done at once. It just takes time. And then you want to build about probably 15 to 25 more boards on top of. So with 30 boards,
okay.
That's a lot of boards. But it will come naturally over time. And again, I would say start with five, like have five business related boards and then everything else hide, because otherwise Pinterest is going to be confused. Like, well, is she an interior designer focused on rustic living room decor or is she a Pinterest strategist? So you want to be really clean and crisp with what your boards are.
Okay, great. So starting with those five boards that are really directly aligned to what you do in your business, and then over time, naturally cultivating up to 30 boards that are tangential or related to what you do, complementary, so that if there is a user out there searching and they come across your profile, they might think, wow, this is kind of a holistic experience of cultivated information by this expert who does very clearly Pinterest marketing or very clearly email marketing.
Right. And those boards are going to be, so then the next step would be to fill those boards with pins. So I recommend Pinterest rewards you heavily now for doing fresh content of your own. So that's creating your own pins with unique images. And when I'm saying unique, for each piece of content, let's say I have a blog post, I usually make 6 pins out of that one blog. But each pin is a little different headline, different graphics. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of viewed as repetitive. And then you want to do a good amount of repinning. So this is one of the beautiful things compared to some other platforms is you can repurpose other people. Not, I shouldn't say repurpose. Don't ever steal anybody's content, but repinning is basically just repinning. Like when I was doing my living room ideas, right? Ooh, I love that. I'm gonna repin it. And so a good percentage of your boards is going to be repinned content. So you, that again will help the engagement within the platform. So you want to both add your own pins, but then supplement with a good amount of repins. So it actually makes your life a little easier because you can repin a lot of expert content.
I'm so excited about what you're talking about right now, because not only is it that you don't have to create all the content, but you can lift up your fellow mompreneurs in the boards that you're cultivating. So you can probably tell by my voice, I'm getting super excited. So I could repin some of your pins, Lisa, and I could be helping to boost your visibility and my own at the same time.
100%. And the beautiful thing, like I try to think of my Pinterest boards, I think of myself as a curator of good content. Mm-hmm. So the better job I do of curating, the better I'm going to serve the people that are kind of exploring through my pin boards. So it's a win-win across the board, no pun intended.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's so good. Okay. So Lisa has just given us five amazing first steps of what to get on to Pinterest for Business. She has done a beautiful job of explaining why. I think that information is super compelling. So I have one last question before we share how people can engage with you further. And that is, I am always in the business coaching aspect of what I do, I'm always encouraging my clients to start small, like start with one social media platform, right? There are enough people on any single social media platform that you truly don't have to go anywhere else. What type of business, if you were to say, you know, only use one platform, what type of business would Pinterest be that you'd say for this type of business, all you need is Pinterest? Does that exist?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, let's see. All you need is Pinterest is a tricky one. I am completely of the same belief as you. I even have told people who I think could be better served on Instagram than Pinterest, or they're feeling overwhelmed by the platforms they're on, to hold. I always say, like, build that bridge and then come back once you can get across, and then come back to Pinterest. But example, I just did a private consulting session with a very, very small seasoning brand. And so something like that, is Pinterest is a gold mine, because you can leverage recipe content, which is one of the main things that people come to Pinterest for. The fact that it is something that doesn't have any brand recognition ticks another box, and they have an e-commerce platform that people can buy. So there's so many elements of discoverability there, plus the e-commerce element. That's a huge one. I also think anybody that has an e-course or a blog, they should 100% be on Pinterest, because versus Instagram or Facebook, there's so much opportunity to get people to click through to your content. So the bulk of my blog visits, which then some of those convert to different elements, but the bulk of my blog visits come from Pinterest. And I think that would be true of almost any blogger that's active on Pinterest. So there's so much lead gen there.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited. I kind of want to like drop the rest of my day and dive in, but I can't do that. So let's wrap up and share. I'm hopeful that the other people who are listening to this are feeling just as excited about I am about the fun possibilities that Pinterest offers us, because for me, it sounds fun. I use Pinterest for fun. Being able to cultivate boards for my ideal client that's not just my creation sounds fun. So how can we work more with you, and what kind of services do you offer to us mompreneurs?
Yeah, well, I offer free tips on my Instagram at Pajama Marketer. So I share all kinds of different tips about Pinterest there, more very snackable, obviously. And then for more in-depth, I offer one-on-one consulting, depending on what a client's needs are. And then secondarily, I actually have a Pinterest course that is designed for absolute beginners. It walks through step by step. And then it has cheat sheets too. So for some of the more technical aspects where we talked about, where you were talking about the YouTube videos, mm-hmm. I have links to everything. So you can know exactly how to do the things. Like today I was just talking about them, but I need to remember sometimes I'm really familiar with that. And so it's easy, but it's easy because I've been doing it for a long time. It's not necessarily easy if you haven't done it before. So it walks through everything as if no one has done any of this before. And it goes through keyword strategy, how to build a beautiful pin, the steps we talked about today, obviously getting started, and then a deep dive into analytics and how to leverage that, as well as how to find the right board strategy, keyword strategy, and topic strategy. So how to not run out of things to talk about, like what should you be pinning? All of those questions are answered. And it's meant to be, like we were talking about earlier, I know, especially moms, none of us have like tons of time to sit down and do this super long course. It's very snackable. It's in usually 6 to 10 minute segments. And I think the whole thing probably takes less than 2 hours to complete. So it's concise. I'm not a big fan of, well, one, a lot of people that buy courses don't finish them, which makes me sad. So I didn't want that to happen. So I kept it really quick. It just covers like the core things you need to know, and targeted more towards kind of a beginner level.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I will be sure to link to your Instagram account as well as this e-course, because it sounds really valuable. And I mean, just why not? This just seems like a no-brainer to me. So Lisa, this conversation flew by. I wish that we had more time, but as mompreneurs, that is one of our greatest resources, most precious resources. So we're going to let our listeners go, but thank you so much for joining me today. It was a blast talking to you.
Oh my gosh, this was so fun. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you, mamas, for listening to this episode of The Motivated Mompreneur. I hope you come back next week for your next dose of inspiration and information to build the business of your dreams without sacrificing your family or your sanity. As a mom, I know that your most valuable resource is your time, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. If you like what you hear and want to connect more, head over to my website at hillarybennett.com or find me on Instagram at themotivatedmompreneur, and let's get to know each other better. Also, if you could take a couple of minutes to leave me a rating and review, that will help me reach other amazing mompreneurs to share their gifts with the world.
Thanks for listening to my mommy's podcast.